Everybody's doing well this morning. Let's pray as I start here. Lord, we just ask for your help. Thank you for worship. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the atmosphere of heaven really here today. Thank you, God, that for all of these people and everything that you're doing in the earth and in our lives, in our city. Thank you for what you're doing in us and what you've done. Lord, we ask that you'd speak to us, that you continue to clarify things, that you would lead us to you, that we would be more like you than ever before, that we would behave like you, live like you, love others like you, and just ask for your help today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the second part of a three-part series on the essentials and the non-essentials. So was there anybody that wasn't here last week? Maybe we'll have a few, handful here who weren't here last week. I did part one last week, and we're just going to take the next step here in talking about some non-essentials. So I'm not going to go over everything I shared last week, but let me just share one or two things. One is I love the Moravian motto. If you are not familiar with the Moravian motto, it is this. It's in the essentials, unity. So let's unify around the things that are absolutely important. In the non-essentials, liberty. So if it's a non-essential thing, there's liberty to believe some different things, and we're all on a pathway and a journey with God of him changing us and becoming who he wants us to be and to believe and to think the way that he wants us to think, right? We're all in that journey. So in the essentials, unity, in the non-essentials, liberty, in all things, love. What if we applied that to all of our lives? Wouldn't that be great? What if every believer did that? Where we could value other people even if we don't agree with them. That would be a big thing. And so I'm gonna talk some about that today. The essentials have to do with, as you know, and we're not gonna spend a ton of time on this right now because we do throughout the year, and that is who Jesus is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, salvation, how that comes. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. That's essential to believe. Then there are so many other things, and there are more essentials as well, but for salvation, for living eternally with him, there are some basic things. God has made things, though he's complex and he's incredibly smart, and there are so many, he knows everything that there is to know. He makes things very simple through the gospel. We can make things complicated. He makes things very simple. Jesus said to people who he wanted to train up his disciples, come follow me. That was it. Come follow me. He gave them an invitation. He explained things to some degree along the way. And God is that way. He invites us. And he doesn't nitpick. He's not punitive. And so I want to talk about some of the things that are non-essential today. And I appreciate no one throwing something at me last week when I talked about a non-essential thing. And non-essential things can be controversial. I understand that. What I'm gonna talk about today will be controversial for some. For others, you're like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. Others are like, what? So I would encourage you not to throw something at me today. And pray for me if you dislike what I have to say. I found that in church, we talk about certain things and typically don't talk about a lot of other things. And some of those things, though they may not be essential, can be important in our lives. In fact, some non-essentials derail people from the essentials, if that makes any sense. And so that's one reason why I wanna talk about some of these things. I have about a dozen of them that I wanna talk about. I'm gonna try and get to two of them today. We only hit one last week, which was the days of creation. And so this week we're gonna talk some more about some important but not ultimately important things. You can still differ with me. We can differ among one another on these things I'm about to talk about, and we can still go to heaven together and be living with Jesus forever, right? So I think it's important that we have the ability to be okay with people that we don't agree with 100%. You know what? I don't agree with myself 100%, usually about a week later or a month later or a year later. Have you ever done that? You ever said something, been so passionate about something, and then the next year you don't even believe that anymore. So we are all in a personal journey ourselves of becoming more and more like Jesus. And so we need to also give grace for other people if they're not believing the same exact things that we're believing, particularly if they're non-essential. Even if they are essential, we still need to have grace for people. So here's another thing related to this, and I have a bit of a buildup, I would say. Essentials are what I would call also the majors, and the non-essentials, the minors. And I found in life, too, that if we major on a minor thing, then we get sidetracked and derailed. But also, if we minor on a major thing, that's not a good thing either. So we need to be able to keep these things in the right priority that the Lord makes them, and not major on minors or minor on majors. I think that's important. Let me share this. John 17, verse 15 through 21. I want to read these few verses here. And in context, these verses, this that we have captured here, is the prayer of Jesus right before he died. So I'm going to say there is a lot of focus. There's a lot of intentionality in this last prayer, his last request of the Father before he goes to be with him. Again, while he's on the earth, and he says this, I do not ask you, the Father, to take them, speaking of his followers, out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. His prayer was to keep his followers from the evil one. That's his prayer for us today still. They are not of this world, his followers, even as I am not of this world. Wow, those who believe in him, we are no longer of this world, right? He changes us. Sanctify them in the truth. There's so much in here. We could spend the rest of the day talking about this passage. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, and this is a great part for all of us sitting here. I don't ask on behalf of these alone, not just these 11, because Judas had already taken off at this point. But for those also who believe in me through their word, that's every single one of us. So this prayer, the things he's about to say, are for every single one of us in addition to his disciples. And here's what it is, that they may all be one. That they may all be one. This is Jesus's prayer, his desire, a passion in his heart, a request that he would make at the end of his life to his Father. Would you make all of those who believe in me and will follow me to be one? Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. There is something about unity of the faith in that where there's a oneness that the world is not going to believe that Jesus is real or that God is real unless we are behaving in that way of oneness. That's how important this is. That's why Jesus prayed it. When we're one, I'm telling you what, those who don't know him are going to go, wait a minute, this is how they treat one another? They love each other. They care for each other. They don't backbite, stab each other in the back, gossip, all that stuff. When we do our part in that way, there is something of a oneness and a unity that is necessary for the world to believe. So we have our part to play. In John chapter 13, verse 34, by this, Jesus says this as well, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. So the mark on those who follow him, the marker is that they love one another, not that they have perfect or right doctrine, not that they believe all the right things, or they've got all their ducks lined up, or they drive the right car, or they go to the right church, or whatever that is. It's that we have love for one another. That's a marker. Amen. Jesus said, this is how the world's going to know, is by our love. And then it goes along with it, that last prayer that we just read. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 4:13. He said, and he's talking about the gifts, and he's talking about the offices, the apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, as he's talking about them equipping the saints for the work of ministry, he says this, until, we need all these people, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Again, not the unity of the doctrine, but the unity of the faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature that which belongs to the fullness of God. So Jesus talks about and prays for us to be one. Paul says we need all of these offices in functioning in the body of Christ, in the church, so that we will have a unity of faith. So that's one of the things that we are heading toward. I believe Jesus' prayer is going to get answered. I believe that request is going to happen. And so let's take a quick glance through a little bit of history. And one of the reasons why I'm talking about some non-essentials as well has everything to do with this. That since the beginning, or close to the very beginning, once there were brothers on the planet, there were some problems and issues, right? Jealousy, which led to murder, right? Brothers who should be one from the same family, the same parents, similar DNA inside of them, this isn't working. One kills the other one. And from that moment, we could go through history and all of the old covenant, the Old Testament stories, we've got all kind of chaos and people hating one another, families ripped apart, all of these things. That carries all the way through, honestly, till today, really. And then you've got, once Jesus came, and once he initiated this new covenant, once he paid for our sin, once he brought us into his family, we still have these followers who don't have all of this figured out, and that prayer of Jesus hasn't been answered all the way inside of us. You can see it when I say us, I'm talking about us in the large sense from over the last couple thousand of years. In fact, you see Paul addressing some of this, and he's saying things like this. Hey, Corinthians, some of you are saying you are of Apollos, and some of you are saying you're of Paul, and some of you are saying this. He said, don't say that stuff, because what you're doing is you're dividing yourselves. That's not what Jesus prayed for, to you to be divided, and you say, I'm of this group, and I'm of that group, and I follow this person, and I follow this. He's saying, let's not do that. We are following one person, Jesus. I may have mentioned this already, I was recently in place with several pastors in another state, and this pastor from a certain denomination asked me what denomination I was in. And I told him I wasn't a denomination, so then he asked me, then what do I believe in these certain areas? He was so eager to put me in a box. It's like he could not help himself. He wanted me to say I'm of this type of thing. And I said, I'm not doing it. I said, I'm a follower of Jesus. And man, did he not like that. Because as humanity, we like to put people and things in boxes. We try and put God in a box. I talked about that last week, that he has to do creation a certain way according to my time frame. God doesn't like being in a box, and neither do I. And neither do you, right? Jesus prayed, may they be one. And throughout history, we have tried to divide and separate. It's a demonic thing. It's the enemy driving this. He's the divider, the enemy. And then you go from people that Paul's addressing in the New Testament, dividing themselves, Paul's addressing that. You fast forward through, we did history, a series on history recently over the summer, but then you've got the Catholic Church really taking control over the body of Christ. Then the Pope emerges, and then you've got all these rules and regulations, and then you've got the Inquisitions, which were in several different countries for about 600 years, and some of them were horrific. All of them were bad. Some were horrific, like in Spain, where you've got the Spanish Inquisitions, and you've got people killing each other with an accusation. This person was doing this thing that disagrees with the official line of the Catholic Church, so let's torture them until they turn from it and repent. And let's kill them. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people killed for a difference of opinion or maybe a difference of worship, or they were just falsely accused. So you got these dividing that just keeps happening and happening and happening over and over. And then fast forward up to the Reformation, where just over the body of Christ, the Catholic Church was doing a lot of bad things, saying they represented God, but from the sale of indulgences to, there are just many, many things. You got the group of reformers are saying, no, we don't want to live to this, we want to live to God personally. And we don't want to have to buy indulgences to have my sin forgiven. You know, all those, so they start rising up and pointing back to the word, and then they're wanting the word in the common language of the people. As they're doing this, then the Catholics at the church at that time started to kill those people and persecute them. Once the reformers then gained a little freedom and they're doing it their way, guess what they start doing? This exact same thing. And there were people called the Anabaptists. They called them the Anabaptists. They didn't call themselves the Anabaptists, but they believed in full immersion, baptism underwater when you are of age to understand what you're doing and not a baby, an infant. But the reformers, many of them, still believed the way the Catholics did. You baptize them once when they're a baby, and you never do that again. So when the Anabaptist folks who believed what the Bible says, basically, disagreed with now the reformers who had just gotten some freedom and were fighting getting free themselves, saw someone disagreeing with them a little bit, what do? They persecute them and kill them. In fact, how about this? There were more deaths related from by the reformers killing the Anabaptists than there were by the Romans killing the first Christians for the first 300 years. That's that division thing. It's that you're different than me. You're not doing it just how like I want it. You're not worshiping just, you don't have the two-hand worship or whatever, you know, whatever it is. You're doing the sprinkling and not baptizing. All these things they can divide if we allow them. And of course, Jesus' prayer was, Lord, may that not happen. Paul said, let's have a unity of faith here and not be divided over these crazy things. And so that just has continued and continued. So today, we don't have, let me throw in a couple of other things. Even the founding of our nation, when the Puritans came here, you know, they disagreed with the Quakers, who had more, I would say, a mystical way of following God on the inside and not just the word of God. More of what we believe right now, actually. We would be more Quaker-aligned than Puritist. I would say most of us in the room probably. So they started persecuting the Quakers from torturing them and hanging them, having them leave. So it just continued. Then, of course, slavery. That would be a huge example where you've got people calling themselves Christians, owning slaves and justifying it themselves, having kind of their own church services with their slaves, preaching to them. It's like, what in the world? Let's skip over love thy neighbor verse. Let's skip that one. Right? All the craziness of what has happened with people who have called themselves Christians, and we can talk about the Crusades as well, we won't. It just goes on and on, of the enemy's plan to divide people. The enemy does not want the prayer of Jesus to be answered. He does not want the world to see us love each other in reality and have a unity of faith, because that is strong. That is powerful, but that is where we're headed, and that's what the Holy Spirit is moving to do this. In fact, I can see it in my own lifetime. I can see it in the time I've just been in Winston-Salem, an improvement on this. When I first came here, I remember asking some pastors, are there pastors that get together and pray together or meet? And they said, no, not in Winston. That was almost nearly 20 years ago. And now there are. We have a group that meets here of pastors around the city. People, pastors loving each other, supporting each other. Things are changing in our country. This is going the right direction in many, many, many ways. But yet, we still have a lot of really bad things. We got a long ways to go. And some of those I wanna address here. Let me show you a picture. Can you put the first image up there, Brandon, please? Everyone knows what that is. So and I don't mean to stir your hunger right now, and you're now gonna start praying for me to talk faster. But obviously we know what that is. Is that a bad thing to you? No, that's a good thing, right? Why? Because you're thinking of the flavor, you're thinking of the taste, you're thinking of that going down and feeling good in your stomach. You know what else is in there that you can actually see? There are bones in that thing. There are bones in there. But when you look at it, you're thinking all good, right? But in reality, there are things you need to spit out. And you don't need to try and digest, ingest, swallow. Or you're gonna have some stuff stuck in your throat. right? So you're looking at that as a good thing, and it is. But you're also, while you're eating that, you're going to deal with the things that you shouldn't be eating and throw them away. Not even think twice about it. We need to be the same with people who say things that we don't necessarily agree with. But not throw the whole thing, and not see them as bad, but see them as good, great. So in everything, it doesn't matter if Bill Johnson is standing here, Billy Graham is now gone, if Billy Graham was here, if Joyce Meyer is here, if Francis Chan is standing up here, if whoever you really look to or respect or honor, or anyone from this church standing here, you know what? None of us are getting this 100% accurate all the time. That's just the way it is. I'm not. All of us eat the chicken and throw out the bones. All of us take what is said we need to and weigh it by the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Do I ingest this? Even if it could be something new, something that is from heaven, though we've never heard it before. Maybe it contradicts the tradition that we have on the inside. We need to be able to say, Holy Spirit, what are you sharing with me? What are you sharing? Maybe I've got some things to learn, right? So when you do that, let's put the next slide up here. There's the sacred cow. There's the sacred cow. You gotta watch for that character, because he will try and get in. In fact, he comes through a lot of traditions of men that are taught over time. We end up having sacred cows. Now, it's that thing that isn't necessarily an essential. It is not an essential, actually. But it is so important to me. It's so important to, this is how I learned, and this is big. And you know what? Sacred cows can really do damage. That's why we cannot turn a minor thing into a major or treat it as a major thing. If we do, that's what a sacred cow is, I'm gonna say, in one sense. It's a minor thing that we've turned into a major that is so important. And you know what the Lord has done? Has dealt with many of these in my own heart, in my own life over time. I could tell you a few, I won't right now. I've shared them before, and I'll probably share them again, but there are things that come along the way that to us are just, get so passionate about that thing. And it's not necessarily something, it may not even be good at all, but it is a tradition, or it's something that's I value because maybe I've been wounded in one way in this area. So I've created this thing that is so important. I remember, I guess I'll use this story. A pastor friend of mine who had gone to a church once, needed some help and didn't receive it. When he became a pastor himself, said, there is no time ever that I will not meet with someone at any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 365. Now, if you're going to say that as a pastor, that is going to be really rough. Because what you're going to do is you're going to have to become like God to people and never have them connect to the Lord, is you're going to try and be their source all the time. You know what that's going to do? It's going to wear you out. And it's not going to do the best for the other people. So you can turn into a reaction, can then be a sacred cow of this is what I, so that maybe not be the best example, but anyway, it's the one I used. Let's move on. Let me talk about a couple of sacred cows, and you can, there we go, and take the cow off though, so you're not distracted. I'm giving you these food items I'm showing you. So in this room, I want to talk a little bit about politics, just very briefly. So buckle up. Here we go, no. This is one of those things that, you know, in some churches it's talked about a lot, and I would say some churches can be very political. We have decided not to do that. I don't like politics, to be honest, though I see the necessity of them. It's like when I was in the intelligence world. I used to be in the intelligence world. I was an undercover guy. I see the value of it, though I didn't love doing it. I see the great value. The politics to me are a little bit similar. And in this room, my guess, in fact, I'm pretty certain that we're gonna have Democrats in this room, we're gonna have Republicans in this room, we're gonna have Independents in this room, we may even have some Green Party or Libertarians in this room, right? We're gonna have a mix of people in this one room, and we're all calling ourselves Christians. I think that's a great thing, that we have a mix of different political parties represented. But here's part of the problem with, I'm gonna say humanity, it's not just an American thing, I find this around the world, and that is, we tend to, and I don't exactly understand this, but we tend to, if we like somebody, to overlook everything in their life that may be a flaw or something wrong, and we are all for them and we love them. Or we do the same thing on the hate side. If I don't like someone, now I'm gonna use two examples. President Trump and President Obama. Let's just use those as an example right now. There are people who love President Trump and absolutely love him where it's like everything, I just love that everything that he does. Well, there are a lot of things there that aren't right. But if we're unable to ever acknowledge that, because I would never own anything that, I don't wanna talk about any of those things. I just love him. And there are people the same way with President Obama. I just love everything about it, but there are things that aren't right there too. But typically, we as humans tend to really love someone all the way, and we never even discuss anything that wouldn't be accurate about them, or good, or moral, or we hate them. Now, let me use this in a different category. Let's say you're at a soccer game and your kids are playing. Your kid is on the field playing soccer, right? And then you're sitting with your group of other parents. Now, this is real. I've done this hundreds of times probably. For sure, hundreds. And when a referee makes a call, if it is against someone on the team, people are screaming, yelling at that referee. It could have been their son who punched the guy. But any call against their team or against their son, what? Oh, veins popping out, anger, screaming obscenities at the referee, even if their own child was guilty. I've seen it, listen, I've seen that over and over and over. Even our football team, we go to a Panther game, I like the Panthers. You go to a Panther game, there, you could be a guy on our own team who does something really wrong, but if there's a call that's made against him, boo, everybody boo, 70,000 boo. That's because he's our guy, so he doesn't do any wrong. Now, that is an example that's just, it's not a good thing. That's not a good thing politically. It's not a good thing with our own kids. I mean, I have been in that parent section where I saw our own player do the wrong thing and everyone's booing. I'm going, no, he did that. He did that. It's okay. Let's not cuss out the ref. He really did that thing that he just got called for. But for some reason, there's something on the inside of people that is 100% we can just overlook all this stuff. And this is why I want to talk about this, is that we as kingdom people should be dealing in truth, right? In truth, which means sometimes our guy isn't gonna do the right thing. That doesn't mean you're not for him or her. That you can still be completely honest, be completely for whoever is president. We need to be completely for them, whether that's President Obama, President Trump, or whoever's next. We need to be for them, pray for them, not agree 100%. Sheesh, if we agree 100% with anybody on this planet, then we are deceived. It doesn't matter. I don't care who it is. I don't agree with me 100%. Weigh out what God is saying to you. What does the scripture say? What are the guidelines there? And I can't think of any clearer imagery of this dividing than politics and Democrat and Republican right now in our country. Here's what happens. If you're a Democrat, typically, I'm going to say this in generalities, there's a demonizing of the Republicans. If you're a Republican, there's absolute demonizing of the Democrats. You would never highlight something good that is going on in the other party. No, zip on any of that. You highlight what you don't like about them. And there's the veins, all that. Is that not true? We have shows and stations and networks that are devoted to demonizing the other party and to highlighting everything they're doing wrong, not what we are doing wrong ever. I know, super quiet. That's just really what it is, though. It's really true. Now, as a believer and as a follower of Jesus, you know, Jesus was not towing a party line. He wants to be the head of this kingdom, that he brought and gave to us. He wants to be the one that we follow and where our loyalty lies to him more than it does to any other party or any other person or any other church, right? It's really to him. So can you be a Democrat or Republican? Absolutely. And be a Christian? Yes. I know some would disagree with that right there. We need great, strong, authentic, moral, loving Christians in politics, in government. Daniel would be my hero that has done that so well, right? Who could love and serve the leader even though he wasn't a great guy. Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, that was a rough one. But he loved, served, was loyal to, honored, yet stayed true to the one he was following more than anybody else on the inside. We need to be able to do that. And some parties have, I would say, every party probably has elements of truth in it. And then they're gonna be off some too. Being a Democrat doesn't equal being a Christian. Being a Republican doesn't equal being a Christian. Either one, for sure. What is a concern is when nationalism overtakes kingdom on the inside of our hearts. We cannot do that. Love our country. I love this country. I so appreciate, and man, I feel a debt to those who've gone before, our founders, our military, all that's happened to give us the freedom that we have right now. We can honor that, but I should not be so nationalistic that it overrides the kingdom of heaven on the inside of me, right? But so that's a danger. And it's a real danger, honestly. When that does happen, then the party line or whatever we're grouped then becomes a major. And then there's a division is what happens. And division, again, as a believer, if any of us are using more energy and passion to highlight what's wrong with someone else or some other party, then I'm already off track. I better have more energy and passion about loving people and finding ways to love people, the very thing that Jesus asked us to do, than to highlight what's wrong with someone else. If I'm highlighting what's wrong with someone else, great or not, that's my passion, is the wrongs of the Democratic Party, then I am off track. I'm not in my purpose. It's really true. So any degree that comes into me, I've got to deal with that and not let that grow and stay. That's a divider. That's a divider. I need to see everybody as a piece of good-looking chicken. Especially if they're a believer. If they're a believer, they're a good-looking piece of chicken. There are bones in there that need to get thrown out, but that's okay. God's gonna have to do that. But let me do what, as a kingdom person, I'm supposed to do, which is to love, which is to encourage, which is to build up, which is to edify, which is to share truth, which is to pray for them, right? Let's do that and not just swallow something whole, get a bone stuck in your craw, or throw the whole thing away because it's gotta be evil if it is considered this. Certain thing, right? Okay, so here's where the enemy, even just saying this makes me happy that I'm talking about this. The enemy wants your attention and your weapons aimed at one another when he is the culprit. Man, he did that in the Garden of Eden. He got Eve's eyes on, you know, what if God doesn't have the best for you? Then you're gonna have to reach, you're gonna have to do something for yourself because he's not gonna protect you. That lie has gone all the way down and thoroughly gone into where we then are trying to find, again, the passion, the energy on negativity rather than looking what we can do to help build and support and love. I'm telling you what, I have to turn off a lot of radio and a lot of television. Both sides have similar vitriol and hatred and malice. So we need to make sure that our hearts are clean and clear in this. The devil is our enemy, not one another. He is in me. He's the one who kills, steals, and destroys. He's the one who accuses the brethren. Those are all his job title description, title and description. And when our weapons get aimed at another party, another person, then we are, guess what, employed by the enemy. Because that's what he does. We start working along with him. That was the exact opposite of what Jesus prayed for us to do. Right? To be one. To be one. To see one another as God sees us. To not highlight what is wrong or different than what I believe in someone and raise that highlight to a major and throw that person away. Thankfully, God hasn't done that with any of us, right? With, and I'll just mention these two parties again, the Democratic Party have some things, honestly, that the Republicans need. And the Republicans have some things that the Democrats need. I'm telling you, and it's interesting to me. Here's why. There is no party that is perfect. There just isn't. That would be called the Kingdom Party. Right? That would be the one ruled by Jesus. So there are things in each that are needed. In fact, needed so much that whether we can recognize it or not, I believe God has set it up where they're kind of like two wings of this eagle, where God allows the Democrats to lead for a while, and then he allows the Republicans to lead for a while so that both wings are flapping all through our existence as a nation. If one of them had just been flapping with everything they believe, thinking that's the kingdom, just in circles and down, and it's not going to work. So the Lord has been gracious to us. But then there's times where a certain party is in office a little bit too long and they get imbalanced in one way and the Lord's trying to help us. That's what I believe personally. Anyway. I could be wrong on that. That is a non-essential. That's my opinion. But I've also seen, and I won't go through some of the real nitty-gritty details. Yikes, time is flying. Okay. Let me leave that one. So we need to love each other. We need to focus on what unites and what divides. And let me add that too with not just politics, but in with believers as a whole in particular, between denominations. Let's look at what we agree on. Do they agree that Jesus is God, is Lord, is the way, the truth, the life, is the access for eternal life with the Father? And if they don't agree on that, then you know there are some issues there for sure. But if they do, then some of the other things of the way they dunk and the robes they wear and the collar they have and all whatever that is, or the freedom of the spirit that they have, then I need to still see them as a brother or a sister. And we need to not be against them, we need to be for them. Amen. Because we're going to be living with them for eternity. That's one of the parts, right? Plus, God says they're in his family. If you hate your brother or your sister, and Jesus talked about that too. So we have to make sure that we do not allow division to enter our heart. And where it has, let's deal with it. Absolutely deal with that thing. I feel divided against this group or this kind or that party or whatever. There's something on the inside of me. Then I need to deal with that. Now, I am not saying that there aren't wrongs in those parties. Good night. There are. There are. And it's not glossing over those. And there should be stands against certain things. We talked about one last week, abortion. Which I think was the greatest evils, one of the greatest evils on our planet right now in our time frame. That is an evil, that's a deception that many in the Democratic Party have received. Now we could talk about other ones as well. There are many of those. Okay, but I need to keep moving. I'm gonna take, you give me 5 more minutes or so? You guys okay? You can always just walk out. So, you know, I don't have ushers or security keeping you here. We're just trying to keep you safe while you're here. Okay. I want to mention, this is more on the spiritual side of what I would call a sacred cow or something that has been taught and told many, many times, and my guess is you've heard it, and maybe even said it like I have many, many times, and that is this: God is in control. I disagree with that. Here's why. It is. I believe it is one of those sacred cows, and here's why I'm saying that, and if you just follow me for a second here. I understand the heart behind that God is sovereign, and he is. He has full power. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent, right? He's omnipresent. So just by having those qualities, he is sovereign. He is over all. He created all. He is the creator. It says of Jesus, he holds the worlds together by the word of his power. There's a lot of power involved with God, and he's holding all this together. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." It's his. Everything's his. But let me give you another passage. And this also speaks to an importance of us interpreting scripture. It says in Psalm, I think it's 119, verse 160 or so, that the sum of thy word is truth. Whenever we build a doctrine on one passage or one verse or something that someone said as a prayer, there's a possibility for some error, right? So you take the sum of thy word, and that's where doctrine is created. You never take one passage. I mean, I'll just use an example. The Mormons have done that. 1 Corinthians 15, they've created a huge doctrine off one verse that in the light of the whole of scripture does not mean anything that they've created there. So that would be one example. I can talk about that later. But we don't want to do the same thing. Psalm 115, verse 16 says this, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth," which it is his, but guess what he's done with it? "He's given to the sons of men." Wow. Wait a minute. Now I want to touch on something that I mentioned last week. I talked about the 6 days of creation, right? And I talked about them, the possibility of that not being 24-hour periods because the sun wasn't made till the fourth day and several other issues. But in the seventh day, it says, and after each day in the Bible, it says, God did this, God did this, God did this, the first day. God did this, God did this, God did this, the second day. Until you get to the seventh day, it says God rested, and then it doesn't say the seventh day. That part's not there. In other words, I believe the seventh day is continued. It was an age, I believe it's an age, an epoch, that God is, that day hasn't ended yet of God resting. But what it has in that period through all that he's done for us is he created mankind and has desired to partner with us in his creation. You can see that through giving us dominion, giving us authority through Jesus spiritually, giving us dominion naturally over the earth with Adam and Eve. One of our first jobs was to cultivate and take care of the earth, which is another can be politicized thing that I don't think Christians are very good at. Right? So there's another thing there. But he's given us this earth. God has given us this earth. So when you say God is in control, that can mean several different things. But here's one of the things I don't believe that means. I don't believe he's controlling every single thought and action of every person on the earth. He's holding it together. But guess what he did? God is bold and audacious. It's amazing that he's done this. I don't know if any of us would do this if we were God. Glad we're not. He created all this, and then he gives it to us in its pristine fashion. He gives it to us. And so the things that happen on this earth, the behavior of people, isn't God controlling them. It's God giving us free will. He did that from the very beginning in the garden. And not just, how about that? Before the Garden of Eden, where was their free will? How about with Lucifer? Free will was before the earth was created. Lucifer had it. He chose the wrong thing, chose to try and take over. The consequences were that he was thrown to the earth to be a prisoner of mankind. Of course, we then sinned. The prisoner became the prince of the air. Right? So there's all those things there. And then Jesus put him under his feet and gave us authority again. Right? That's basically what's happened. But God gave us this earth to take care of, and the things that happen on it, we are to lead and to spiritually and to really in position spiritually and through love lead. We are to have dominion. That's what God gave us to do. And he is waiting for us to partner with him in this thing, to believe. Jesus was teaching his disciples, come on, guys, let's go, let's do this, let's heal people, let's stop storms. Then he says, you're gonna do greater things than I'm doing. The Father is still in this place of rest. but he's partnering by his Spirit with every single person till Jesus returns. I think you see that throughout the scriptures. I don't know how that cannot be true. It's really true. So God has given us this earth. So when, my 5 minutes are up, a couple more minutes. So when people ask me, maybe you've been asked this question, this to me speaks of something that could be a trip up for people as well. People have asked me many, many, many times, if God is good and if he is loving, then why murder, rape, sex trafficking, on and on and on and on, right? Well, it has nothing to do with, those things happening have nothing to do with God being good or bad. He is good, he is love, but he's also incredibly generous. And when he gave us the earth, he allows mankind to rule or reign or do the wrong thing or listen to the enemy. And so people then, with the devil as their inspiration, have done horrific things, particularly through selfishness. When you read the book of James, you see that every war on the planet comes from selfishness, ultimately. Selfishness, and that's what the enemy uses as his sidekick, and as the way to get into people and to utilize them, whether it's abortion or murder or stealing, whatever it is. The enemy uses selfishness on the inside of us, on our carnal, undead, uncrucified nature to cause us to do things, to inspire us to do the wrong thing toward another person. I know I'm talking about so many different things. Thanks for bearing with me. So when evil happens on this earth, it's not God controlling it and making that happen. It's God having given freedom to mankind and for particularly his sons and daughters, you and I, to rise up and to be light in those dark areas, to change those things throughout the earth. That's what we're here for. Not to just be a decent citizen and sing some songs until Jesus returns. We get to sing songs and worship him, but we also are here to change the planet. We're here as his representatives. He could do it all in a second. He could continue to work and create all the time and fix everything all the time. Guess what? Thousands of years ago, he said, I want to give this to man. If they'll follow me, I'm going to work with them to create an amazing place. We didn't do that, so we said, okay, I'll give it another chance. Here comes Jesus. Follow him. And then I'm going to send my Spirit to live inside of them, so they can invade every part of every structure on the planet to do the things that God has in his heart to have done on this planet. So when evil happens, it's not that God is asleep. It's not that he's in control and he's like, yeah, I let that bad thing happen. No, he has given us this place. And we've chosen in many ways to do the wrong thing throughout the world. So he's given us the gospel and the Holy Spirit and the power of the kingdom of heaven to invade every space on this planet and to be light and love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Not to point our guns at what people are doing wrong, to point our love on him and others and watch what he does. Okay, that's a bunch of stuff all over the place. So those are two topics. We'll try and get to some more next week. And again, you have freedom to disagree with me on any of this stuff. But I would ask that you would ask the Holy Spirit about it. None of these things that I just mentioned, I've just like, hey, let me throw that out. These are things I've thought about, prayed about for decades, honestly. And we, boy, God just has so much for us. And he wants our minds to be like his and to think like his and to behave as his sons and daughters. To have his heart beating on the inside of us for other people. So let me pray for us as we go. Lord, thank you for all these kind people here and their hearts for you, for your kingdom, the love that you put on the inside of them for one another. Lord, I ask that you'd increase that for all of us. Increase our love for one another. Increase our love for you. May we have much greater passion, energy in loving you than we do identifying and being angry about what's wrong with other people. Lord, I pray that if there's anything that's not right in that balance, that you would tip the scales on that in Jesus' name on the inside of us Man, we have much greater energy and passion in love for you and love for one another. Lord, may our enemies, may our weapons be pointed at the right enemy, not the wrong one. May our prayers be pointed to support people, to help them, to help our government, to help our president, the cabinet, all those who lead, we bless them. And Lord, I ask that you would really, we allow you to change us, to think like you, to behave like you, to be like you, to love like you. Thank you for your love for us, for your goodness, for your kindness that has led us to repent. Thank you for the joy that you have for each one of us. And Lord, I pray for your joy to abound on the inside of each in here today. And that you'd also stir us up and lead us into all truth, as you said you'd do by your Spirit. I bless everyone here and all the kids up there as well, every family. Lord, we ask for a great week ahead as you lead us and guide us into truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Hey, have a great week. We also have some teams that are here to minister to you if you'd like to receive prayer, any type of ministry. We've got folks here who'd love to pray with you and to support you. Have a wonderful week. Bye.